Okay, we are continuing from last week where we left off, and we talked. Oh, he doesn't like that.
Oh, that's fine.
Oh yeah. We're continuing from last week, and I didn't have a chance. We didn't have an opportunity to finish last week the laws of making coffee, and so we're going to finish some of the laws of making coffee and how you make a good. How can you make a good cup of coffee? We're going to talk about that. I'll ask you to bear with me because I'm a little bit under the weather, so maybe we'll cut it a little short tonight, but that's okay. So we'll find out, how do you make a good cup of tea on Shabbos, if at all? Or a good cup of coffee, really, because the hard one is a cup of coffee. Okay. You drink a cup of tea. I should drink a cup of tea to feel better. Okay, so last week we learned about grinding. We learned about timers. And the more I've been thinking about it, you know, it's interesting. It's an excellent question why we use timers on Shabbos, especially nowadays, but we do. At least for lights we do, but for many other things we do. For lights we definitely do, but for other things as well, people use timers. And Rav Moshe was very much against that. We learned about the problem of filtering. We learned about the Bodom on Shabbos. We learned about the issues of that. And also we learned about why the coffee filters or the bags themselves were not a problem. Okay, so now we'll turn to page 3, please, and we'll continue. I want to start by making note of an important thing that came up during the Iron Blech. One of the things that you're not permitted to do, as we'll soon see, is you're not allowed to add spices to any food that's on the fire. And this is something that some people might not be aware of. And the simple reason is because, as we're going to learn, different levels of connectedness to the fire, the closer it is, or the closer an item is, or we're going to see a liquid is, to the fire, the greater the ability it has to cook. So when you have something on the fire, it has the ability to cook almost anything. And so therefore, let's say if your children's on the fire, there's no way, absolutely no way to add even salt, or especially any type of spices whatsoever, while it's on the fire, because it's on the fire, it's called the Kli Rishon, and the Kli Rishon is Mevashel, it cooks, so it contributes to the cooking process. So we'll start on page 3 at the top. Okay. Let's say, he says, this is in the middle of the Shulchan Aruch, in Reish Mem something, I don't remember. Okay. The Imhu Davar Yavesh. Let's say you have a dry item. Eddie, can I borrow a grape? Okay. Just one.
Yeah.
One grape. Okay. Davar Yavesh. A grape, can we all agree, is a dry item. Okay. Shelo Nisbasha Lifnei Shabbos. It was not cooked before Shabbos. Okay. Ain Sharon Oso Bechamin B'Shabbos. Let's say I want to cook the grape. So you say, well, I'm not going to cook it, but I'll tell you what. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put it in my hot water. And that way I'll have a nice warm, I can look now, nice warm grape. You're not allowed to do that. Why? Okay, because that's Mevashel. This is a Kli Rishon. Actually, this is a Kli Rishon Al Ha'esh, because it's a warming fire. So you're not allowed to do that, because it cooks, the Kli Rishon cooks, and it's going to, if I pour it out now, delicious. Yum. Right? A nice warm grape.
Okay. Is it worth it, bro?
Now you know why you don't do it.
Now you know why you don't. Follow, it's not better. You get sweeter. Aval, but, Medichin Oto B'Chamin B'Shabbos, you're allowed to pour over hot water. What, except, Chut Min HaMaliach HaYashan, Umin Hadag Sinikra Kulius HaIspinin. Except for old salt. And they had this fish that was a type of mackerel called Kulius HaIshpinim. These were things that in the Gemara's terminology, the Gemara called them Kale HaBishel. Kale HaBishel means that they cooked very easily. So something that cooks, a grape does not cook very easily. I didn't really get it cooked at all then. I'm sorry. You'll have to try some of it. But you would put an apple in water, wouldn't you, to warm it up to get a little baked apple maybe if you wanted to? There were some things that you would put in water in order to warm them up. Nothing on Shabbos? I'll give you a good example. We were talking, you're familiar with the whole milk and honey JCC brouhaha fiasco of last year and how the JCC is open on Shabbos now. So, what?
Yeah.
Not milk and honey. But the catering hall is available on Shabbos. How's the catering hall going to be available on Shabbos? So the answer is, we told them, we used to have a policy. The policy was, if somebody would have to drive to the event on Shabbos, we would absolutely not sanction it. But because of strong political pressure being exerted on us and our desire to keep the restaurant open, we decided to look the other way, as it were, as long as the food remained kosher. How do you warm up something that's on Shabbos in order to serve it in the middle of the afternoon, a Shabbos afternoon in the middle of the summer? So the answer is this idea of pouring hot water. A lot of things that are fancier are pan-baked, like very quickly baked. So you don't really want it. It's not very fine. It's not very well cooked on the inside either. So in order to get it warm, what they do is they pour hot water on it just to give it a little, you know, a little heat on there, a little warmth, and then they serve it right away. And the hot water doesn't ruin the texture of the food, let's say a piece of fish or something like that, where they can pour it on it very quickly, and that warms up the item, and it's totally permitted in that way. So except, of course, the halacha says there are certain things that were easily cooked. Now, let me give you another example of something that you could say would be easily cooked on Shabbos by pouring water through it. Anybody want to guess?
Coffee.
Oh, yeah. Could be coffee, tea, spices, right? Except for these things that could say in them, the third line, tzrichin bishul ela ma'at, they don't need only a little cooking. V'hadachatan higemar melachtan. Pouring water over them is completing it. Ma'at, haga, rama, b'hu adin. Same is true. Kol davar shehu kasha. Anything that's hard. She'enu ra'i lecho klau below serbia. It's inedible without soaking first. The asher lishroso b'shabbos, you cannot soak it on Shabbos, to have a gemar melacha. So let me give you an example of something that's hard and inedible until you soak it in warm water.
Boxer,
you don't? What? Really? You can be boxer. Yeah. You chew on it.
Oh,
so you soak it in warm water, the egg is edible. You're not going to cook it. You sure can't cook it.
You make it hard.
Well, and that's if you put it in water. That would be cooking itself. That would be cooking it. Well, you could eat though. I mean, but something that's just soaking it would be enough to make it edible on Shabbos. Anybody ever have a tradition soup?
Mm.
Right? It's already been cooked. That's right. Instant oatmeal is other issues that we talked about kneading and things of that nature. But these soups, they are not edible until you soak them.
Because you take out the water.
Right. So once you put the water back in, you're taking something that was inedible and making it edible again. Yeah. Like those soups on Shabbos. Even it would seem to be, according to this Rama, even on a kli shlishi, nonetheless, you're making something inedible into something edible. So that just needs to be clarified. So now the Mishnah Berurah, by the way, goes off on a little essay that I have included for you, and we'll read together, about the making of tea. Okay, because it's a very important thing for people to be aware of. Obviously, you'll see why he felt very strongly about it. The Atan, he says, now, to follow with me, maybe if you have a pen, you can write lines. I don't have a pen. You can't write lines.
Number one.
Line 1. Page 3, number 8. Can I borrow a pen for a second? If you have a pen, it's worthwhile to write in line numbers because there's a lot of lines here.
Which one are you starting with? 1.
3, 4. The top one is 1.
That's that top.
Yeah. 5, 6, 7, 8.
You can number the lines.
Top one is 1.
Talking about
26 lines. Right, that way I can. You wanna do it? Okay. You can even do every five, because then it'll go faster. And he's gonna talk about. One gets the sense that the Chafetz Chaim, who was the author of the Mishnah Berurah, felt very strongly about the making of tea. That it was a serious problem in his time, and you'll see why. And it seems that sometimes things just sort of take on a life of their own. And people do it, and then you ask somebody, well, why do you do it? And they say to you, everybody does it.
So, well,
right, well, and well, why did your mother do it that way? She said, well, that's, right, well, so you get that sense, with this issue as well. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Ata, and now, Nevar din bishul alei hatei. Okay, I'm going to clarify for you the laws of cooking of the tea leaves. Hashayach bikama inyanim l'seif zeh. It's relevant in many ways to this seif. Hinei tei b'shabbos, making tea on Shabbos, beginning of line 3. Pashut b'poskim diyesh b'mishum bishul. It is obvious in the poskim that there is a problem of bishul, of cooking tea on Shabbos. Ubimezid, if somebody does it on purpose, Yeshbo is a skila. Skila is?
Stoning.
Right? If you did it on purpose, if they warned you, you lived in the times of the Sanhedrin, don't make that tea. And you said, I'm making that tea. And they warned you. Okay? It's a punishable by death. Ubishogeg chayav chatas. If you cook tea on purpose, on Shabbos, that's a chayav chatas. It's a deraisa. Balkain yesh lihizahir bo ma'ot. I'm telling you, you should be really, really careful.
You meant shogeg means by accident.
Shogeg means you didn't realize it was forbidden,
right,
and you did it anyway.
You said on purpose.
Oh, I'm sorry, my mistake. Okay. Yeah. I'm on a lot of drugs. Okay. Uba avonoseinu harabim, in our great sinfulness, meaning nebuch, rabim nichshalim bo, many people in line 5, many people stumble there, umekilim la'aslam bekalut she'en behem mam, bekulos she'en behem mamish. They make a kula. They say, what do they say? I'm just making tea. Everybody makes tea. I can't have tea on Shabbos. I know how to make tea. Everybody always made tea. Baal Kain, Mukharach Ani, therefore I am compelled. Leva'er afnei haheter v'ha'isur bazeh be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach. With God's help, I'm going to clarify how to make tea and how not to make tea on Shabbos. Hine, behold. Le'arot mikli rishon al alei hakei. Yes, levadai chash av melacha. Okay, I have a kli rishon. I have my tea bag. It's important to see it. Okay, so the tea bag, by the way, it doesn't help you in any way. The fact is, it's a bag or the tea itself. Okay, can we all agree this is uncooked tea in here? Okay, it's uncooked, right? And I'm going to take from my kli rishon. This is a kli rishon. What does it mean, a kli rishon? It was cooked in this pot. And I'm going to pour from my kli rishon onto my tea bag. So he says, if I do that, oh good, I'm going to move for some tea. He says, if I do that, yesh bo, there's a chshash of an av malacha. Why is there a chshash? How would I definitely violate the av malacha?
What is that?
What? Before I get to this, squeeze, a chshash means a suspicion of a possibility. How would I definitely get the av malacha? I would definitely get the av malacha if I put the tea in here. That's putting the tea into the kli rishon, like putting the spice into the chomet while it's on the fire. That's an av malacha of bishul. That's absolutely prohibited. And there's absolutely no way to do that. Even to put the tea bag in first is a problem. Okay? The kaimalon, line 7, the beginning of line 8. The iroi mevashel kidei klipa. Okay, this is something that's difficult to explain. Oh, I needed a grape again. George, pass me a grape. Okay? Here we are. Okay? When I put something in the kli rishon, it's mevashel kidei kulo. It cooks the whole thing. But when you pour something on the item, when you pour water on the item, it's only mevashel kidei klipa. A klipa is a fingernail's width. So if I pour onto my, if I just did that, so according to the halacha, what happened is I cooked the outside of the grape. And if you feel it, it's a little warm still on the outside, but inside it's not cooked at all. So iroi is mevashel kidei klipa. Now where else do these halachas come up? Anybody know where else other than Hilchos Shabbos? Somebody want to guess? What's that? Yantif. It comes up in the halachas of basa b'chala. Rabbi, I poured from my milchik soup into my plastic pot. You know, well, you never heard. It happens all the time. People make mistakes. So iroi, pouring, is mevashel, cooks less than if I put something in. I accidentally put my salami in my milchik soup. Whoops. Right? I made a soup. It happens a lot. Right? I like to have hot dogs in our vegetable soup. So my wife didn't tell me that this vegetable soup she made was a milchik dish. With a milchik dish. A milchik dish or whatever it was. So that's a certain type of cooking. Whereas it would be a different type of cooking if, let's say, I had meat and I poured a sauce on it that was milchik. Those are two different things. Sometimes you braise something with milchik. Sometimes it depends on how you cook it. So iroi is mevashel kidei klipa. Now, what happens about my tea leaves? I have tea leaves. The problem is, here are my tea leaves. What's the klipa? What's the fingernail breadth of my tea leaves? Right? If you look at it here, I pour it out. What's a fingernail width of the tea leaves?
The entire tea leaf.
Right. You look at here. How do you get a fingernail of that? You know what I'm saying? It's impossible. So if this cooks a fingernail's width, what is it doing?
Cooking
it's cooking the leaf. And it's easy to understand. I mean, you know, don't get me wrong, but You look at my tea here. Right? It does a good job of flowing through, and it's easy to understand why one would think that this thing has been cooked to some degree. The tea in here has been cooked to some degree. Now remember, there's halachic cooking. So pouring is mevashel kedei klipa, a little bit. Okay?
Line 7.
Line 8. Kedilakama, middle line 8, she'if yud. The kosakane, certainly, im yami denu acharkach al hatanur, o betocha kechlin. I need somebody's help. If you put this, then if you took your tea, you put it on the stove, which they would do, they would put it in a samovar, they'd make their tea and then put it back on the stove. Or in the kechlin. I need a Yiddish. Anybody help me here? What's a kechlin? Yeah, what is that?
A kettle.
A kettle. Right, okay. You'll put it in the, maybe they had a special kettle for that. Actually, yeah, yad so lettuce bone. You put it back on the stove until it's boiling. Right, you put the tea in the water, and then you put it back on the stove. Okay, so you had hot tea. You poured water over it. You poured water over the tea leaves, and you put it back on the stove. He says, if then you do that, that's isheskila, for sure, really bad. Meaning, to put my tea in here, I'll take this off, put tea in, and then put it back on. Don't do that. Right, one gets a sense, though, that the Chafetz Chaim saw that people really were doing that, were doing a problem. And this is in the Mishnah Berurah he's talking about. Okay. Line 10. V'afilurim yirtze litein et alei hatei letocha kli achar shi'yare hachamin letocha. So let's say I want to do this. Then you have to pretend that I have a fresh tea bag because I ran out. Okay? How about why? I say, okay, I'm going to take it and I'll pour it into a kli sheni. Okay, we're all good. Kli sheni. Correct? This is a kli sheni. So I'm going to take my tea, or in our case, my coffee. What? Why? Okay. Anybody want this actually? Take my coffee, right? This is a coffee bag. No difference between a tea bag and a coffee bag. Okay? And I put it in here. So I put it into a cliche. It's okay. Cliche I didn't do. I put it in my cliche. He says, even if you do that, today say al hamayim shein klisheni, line 12, gam kein asur. It's also prohibited. Why? Kedim lekaim alan b'shivzem on the top wide line. The davar shelo ba bechamin lifnei haShabbos, something that was not cooked in hot water from before Shabbos, ain shorin b'Shabbos afilu b'klisheni. You're not allowed to put it on Shabbos even into a klisheni. So this coffee bag was not cooked before Shabbos, so I'm not allowed to therefore take that coffee bag or this tea bag and put it even in a kli sheni. Kli rishon, kli sheni. Okay? You're not allowed to do that and put it into a coffee bag on Shabbos.
Wait a minute, so what was the difference what you did the first time? The first time you took the tea bag was in the cup already.
And poured it on. That's Eroi kli rishon. Good question. The second time was?
They're both going in four.
You put the water first.
I put the water first. And then that's kli sheni, okay? And that, it does make a difference. It's less severe to pour on. And we'll talk about Eroi kli sheni. So again, this is kli rishon, pouring.
Both pouring. It was in the second. Both times it went into the second cup.
The first time I poured over.
The tea bag,
right. Because remember also in halacha, and this is true, if you'll ask cooks, pouring hot water onto something is a means of cooking it. Mm-hmm. Right? Isn't there like a, there's like a name for that, like searing, right, but it's
blanching.
That's
when they drop it into hot water or something.
There's definitely a thing about cooking. What?
Right, so you can't do either way.
Right.
Can't do either way. You can't put a tea bag or a coffee bag into a even into a kli sheni.
Which did you say was worse, pouring on it or?
Pouring from a kli rishon is worse than putting it into a kli sheni,
okay.
Into a secondary kli. But both are.
Absolutely.
No, right, we don't do that. But the first one is a chashash mida oraisa. You have to keep in mind the levels are very important. The first one is a possible d'oraisa. The second one, putting into a klisheni, is clearly only a d'rabbana. Not that you should do it, but it's only d'rabbana. Anybody want the coffee?
Sure.
Okay, go for it. Okay.
Somebody's
going to make it.
Okay, the kolsken, the end of the first wide line, the fima shemavor b'shiv zeh, according to what we clarified in this sheif, v'yesh dvarim rachim, there are some soft things that are kalei habishol. Remember we said that fish and that whatever. Shemitvashlim afilu b'hadachan b'kli sheni. There are some things that even cook, even if you only pour from a kli sheni. But these things are easily cooked if these leaves would be included in the list. So why wouldn't the rabbis include tea leaves in the Gemara? Why wouldn't they include, if it was something that was on the list, why wouldn't they include tea leaves in the Gemara? There's a very good reason. George, what do you think? Maybe they didn't have tea leaves back then. In Babylonia, who said they had tea? Where does tea come from?
China?
Did they have in Babylonian times? Did they have tea from China?
They have coffee, it's the same, right? Why does it have to be tea?
I don't know. Where did coffee come from?
Colombia.
Yeah.
Turkish coffee. You also would use it for herbs, and you know, you'd make it.
That's what Turks make it.
Herbs like
herbs. Herbs. Right.
That's what I'm saying.
They probably had herbal tea. They made it out of flowers or whatever. I'm sure they did. I'm sure somebody figured out, like, you know, right after Adam and Eve got kicked out of the Garden of Eden, how to soak something in hot water and get the stuff out. Okay. Al-King, line 14. Hishkimu ha'achronim. Achronim said they came up with this idea. Yesh la'arot aleihem me'erev Shabbos brotchim mikli rishon. He said, I'll tell you what. You want to make tea before Shabbos. So before Shabbos, take your water from a kli rishon and pour it on your tea. Kedei sha'al yedei zeh yikin nikra hatei mevashel b'mikras. Okay? This tea... No. Don't get ahead of yourself. This tea is already cooked. Correct? We all agree that it's been partially cooked. I put in a kli rishon. Good. Fine. Where am I? The iroi mevashel kedei klipa. Because pouring over it, it cooks it a little bit. And mix it around. Okay? So he says, we'll do it this way. Let's pretend we're doing with coffee instead of with tea. Because I don't have tea leaves, but I have coffee. These are real coffee grounds. I have my cleaved riso. Okay? I'm going to pour it in. Don't worry, it won't hurt you. Okay? Very good.
All before Shabbos.
What? All before Shabbos. People do a lot of things for coffee and tea, I'll tell you. It's crazy. And I'm mixing it around really good. That's what you say with the instant, yeah. Okay. All right. We'll leave it like that. Good. He says, V'yoter tov shiyya mevushal mamish. It's even better that it should be totally cooked. Line 16. Ayideh ha'amada b'makam ha'mishimizbashel. If I could somehow cook this, it would be even better. Okay? So now I'm cooking with my pre-rishon water. It's getting pretty cooked. Would you all agree that the coffee in here is nice and cooked?
Yes.
Good. The achar kach yarik et ha'essence for kli acher. Says now, do me a favor and empty your essence. Essence. Okay. Into another kli, into another vessel. Okay. What?
Right.
Anybody want? No. If Chaim was here, he would try it. Yeah. Okay. Fine. Then I empty it. Kadeshi Yisaru Aleite Yevashin. Ah, he says, now I have pre-cooked coffee grounds. Oh, actually, if I empty it out really well, I've got to empty it out very, very well. Okay? So, but if you do your job right, if it was tea leaves, it would be easier. But if you empty it out really, really well, and you took this out afterwards. It's going to be a little messy. Stand up. It's not going to be that messy. Okay. This is a great thing with bonum, right? So now, in this thing, in this here, I have... That's going to be a lot messy. Thank you. I have cooked coffee grounds. Okay? Let's see what he says I can do with them. Or cooked tea leaves. Okay? That were already... I can let those dry out. He says, now, let's say I want tomorrow to use these coffee grounds and make coffee mekli rishon. Go ahead. Why? Because it's an
impurity.
I already cooked those coffee grounds. There's a principle in Hilchos Shabbos called Ein Bishul achar bishva. Once something is cooked, then you can't cook it again. So I can't put it in a kli rishon. So let's say I have a hard boiled egg. It's already cooked. I can put my hard boiled egg. I can pour hot water over it. Why? It's already cooked. So the hot water, it only is mavashto kedai klipa, but only something that wasn't cooked already. You understand? So remember what I told you about how we told the restaurant, how we told Matt Prentice to warm up the piece of fish? This is exactly the same thing. This is what the Chafetz Chaim says. Take your coffee grounds, let them dry out, your TVs, he said, let them dry out, then they'll be already cooked before Shabbos, and then you can pour over it on Shabbos even from a Kli Rishon. Take your hot water off the fire, pour over these things, and you'll have...
Have you ever tried that?
No. Are you kidding? Maybe I'll try it this time. Let's see. This is a Bodum.
Yeah. It was like at work when they ran out of coffee, uses a Bodum.
What? Wait a second. I'm just telling you what he says.
I know.
I'm telling you what he says.
I know, but I'm saying...
but I don't want to do that.
I know what he's saying, but I'm saying, doing it the same way. We used to take 6 or 7 bags right. of tea.
Hold on.
Concentrate.
Yeah.
So that's what you've got. You basically have now coffee concentrate.
No. Here I have coffee concentrate.
Right.
Here I have grounds.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait,
one second.
Using the essence.
One second. I got coffee all over my feet. I can't see them anymore.
Wouldn't you be straining if you put the water through there?
Water through here? Remember we talked about last week, since the water was drinkable before, it's not a problem of straining after. Remember we spoke about that? That was the whole problem of the coffee filter. Okay. One second. Kevan, in the middle of line 17. Kevan shekvar mitbashlu me'erev Shabbos, since my coffee grounds are already gross and cooked from before Shabbos, kedin davar yavesh, like the rule of a davar yavesh, kedekai malam we learn b'si'iv zeh, de'ein bo bishol achar bishol. There's no cooking, you cannot recook something that's a davar yavesh, something that's dry already. Okay? Afilu im nitshtane, even if it has cooled off. He says, and then if you want to take the essence, the cooled off coffee essence, you can then put it back into your back into your coffee if you want. We learned something that was hot that cooled off. We're going to see that. So you can take your essence in my kli sheni, in my secondary kli. Sorry. Okay. In my secondary kli, I have not here.
I'm not sitting here.
Really, I have a kli sheni, right? I have a kli sheni. I have coffee essence. So I'm going to take my coffee essence, pour it into my kli sheni. No, not bad. Somebody want to try it? No takers? Kevin, tell me how it is. Okay. Yeah, it's probably fine. Okay. The imi yishayabo maske ha'essence, if...
A little watered down?
Yeah. Hold on, I got some more. Okay. Kaman debalach yesh b'shach ha'bishon mishtanen, im lo shimei ha'essence, sonim him merubin. So he says, you have to make sure that you have, you pour the water into the kli sheni as opposed to the other way around. Meaning you have the water, and you're pouring your essence into your water, and not the other way around. Because if you pour it the other way around, it could come to cook the essence. You have to pour the essence into the hot water. Okay? Line 20. L'chein hadin. See here line 20 where I am? L'chein hadin le'inyan. Same is true for the rule of? What's the next word?
Coffee.
What is that?
Coffee.
And then the same is true of coffee. Yizayah, be careful, Salo. Don't pour, you can't pour water onto coffee from a kli rishon. Unless you pour it on like I did. And exactly what I did. So now you've got these coffee grounds. I'm going to try this. Leave the coffee grounds.
Dry them
out. And see what you get. What do you think I'll get?
Coffee.
What?
Coffee.
You think so?
Yeah.
It all depends on how much.
Right. The problem. I think George is right. The problem is, the person who likes coffee. That's not a good cup of coffee. Right, it's not a good cup of coffee. Okay. You should sure be careful not to put the tea or the coffee betanur or kechlin on the coffee in the oven or the kettle after you pour the water. It only pours its kidei klipa. The inkein lo nigbasha me'etol rakidei klipa unless you cooked it all the way. Okay, but hine line middle of line 24. But ozan zesh of the army. If you do it this way, afshein limchos biyad hanoa gimbo. So that's not the ideal, but Nikol Makom, Kasva Achronim, the Achronim wrote, Eicham Uvcheres Mizeh. Give you a better idea. Anybody want to tell me what the better idea was than the dry out the coffee grounds? Anybody want to tell me what the better idea was? Well, whatever he said, right. The Hainu, so you can, you're talking the essence, Me'erev Shabbos Lagamrei, make for yourself essence. So lo yistarech la'arot l'tocha od rodchin l'lachar b'Shabbos. You don't have to make more rodchin, more things. Ulamacha, and the next day, because you starech listos, when you want to drink, you take her essence, I told him, you take your cool essence, right? This was the one, right? And you pour it into your cup, and you have delicious coffee or tea. Wonderful. What? Water first, and a klisheni, and then you pour in the essence, okay? Acha sharu maim chaim letocha, and that's a klisheni, shalom ayisra. Okay? So, just to review, to put anything, this is our Kli Rishon. You cannot put anything into the Kli Rishon.
No.
You should not pour from the Kli Rishon. Here I have tea leaves. You should not pour from the Kli Rishon onto any, even into a Kli Sheni, onto anything. You should not do that. Okay, that's not permitted either.
And you can't dip the bag in
the Kli Sheni, you shouldn't put the bag in either.
After the water.
Right. Rather, what did the Shulchan Aruch say? Interestingly enough, he said, you should make essence, you should make essence beforehand, and that essence, either you use it to make dried out slop that you're going to use to make coffee or tea the next day on Shabbos, or what many people do is they take that essence and they make, basically they take an essence and they make tea from that on.
So a tea bag is considered.
Wait, one second. What did you do when we do Dunkin' Donuts?
I just make the coffee before Shabbos.
Right.
Then leave the coffee and throw out the grinder.
Right.
And just
so is that okay what he does?
Why not?
It's cooked before Shabbos. Absolutely. So if it's cooked before Shabbos, no problem whatsoever. So why don't people like to do that?
Because the coffee stays and it gets stale and has the oil and it gets bitter and they're all kind of
right. Everything. But Eddie caused all the problems. Took out the grounds and it's really not bad. Coffee's quite good.
Yeah, it's a stronger coffee than with the Shabbos coffee.
No, right.
You leave the grounds and you get the
bitter.
So if you take them out,
still coffee gets a little stronger overnight.
So what if I wanted to have a really fresh cup of coffee on Shabbos? What if I wanted to do that? How could I do that? What? Use. Got it right here. Use instant. So, can I make a really fresh, good cup of coffee on Shabbos? I got a no, and I have another answer. So, it's interesting to know. What did the Mishnah Berurah, what did the Chabad Chaim not to say that Dr. Lorch brought up? Kli Shlishi. What's a Kli Shlishi? So now, I'm out of cuff here. Okay. Right. The question really is, the Gemara... I'm entertaining, Jorah. I'm glad. It's like a mess here. It's like a mad scientist. For those of you listening at home, you can't even imagine what this looks like. Okay.
I should have brought a camera.
Steve Katz has one. Jorah, there's something called, in the Gemara does not talk about something called the Kli Shlishi. Okay? What's a Kli Shlishi? I take water from my hot water thing, and I pour it into a secondary utensil, secondary vessel. Okay? Great. This is already my Kli Sheni. Then I take my Kli Sheni and I pour it into a Kli Shlishi. Oh, thank you, Aviva. I appreciate that. I pour it into a third Kli. I remember, the Mishnah Berurah said that a Kli Sheni, a secondary cup, is mevashel, can cook tea bags and things that are easily cooked. By the way, among those things are pepper and things of that nature. So let's say I took my chalent and I put my chalent into a serving pot. I took my soup and put it into a serving pot. You could not add spices then either. It's important to know. We talked about that last year.
But if you then put it into a bowl,
that's already a Kli Shlishi. Right. So then it comes down to an interesting question. And this Kli Shlishi, is a Kli Shlishi Mevashel cook like a Kli Sheni? or not?
No.
Well, don't all say no. It happens to be a huge machlokas of latter-day poskim. Many rabbis said yes. The Gemara never said anything about a kli shvi'it. That doesn't exist in halachic literature. And they felt, well, if there was such a thing as a kli shvi'i, don't you think the Talmud would have said something? Meaning, here, you see the Chafetz Chaim basically turning cartwheels to tell you to figure out how to make your coffee and your tea. What could he have easily said? Why did he say that?
It gets too complicated.
Maybe he felt it gets too complicated. Or maybe he felt that the Gemara only talks about a klisheni because klisheni is the least cooking possible to be done. But even if you cook, pour from cup to cup to cup to cup, nonetheless, it would still cook all like a klisheni. There's no such thing as a klisheni. Along came Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, who we do pass in life, who all American Jews who like tea on Shabbos are thankful for. And Rabbi Moshe said no. Rabbi Moshe said, a kli shlishi is eino mevashel. He felt that a third cup, a kli shlishi, was not mevashel. So I'm not going to waste another one. You could take your coffee bag, if you make good coffee, it was okay?
Yeah.
Like fresh or
I'm not a coffee drinker.
If you really want it, and you're really dying for it, and you really need it, take your coffee bag or your tea bag, and this is what we do. You put the water in first, remember, because you don't want to pour onto it, and then you put your bag inside the kli shlishi, and that way you can have your Folgers coffee single, or you can have your tea bag. Now, so I thought of a little kunst. I don't know if it'll work. Somebody will tell me if it'll work. If kli shlishi is not mevasho, and you're really dying for fresh coffee, so what's the difference about a coffee bag or a tea bag, or a coffee grounds? Okay? What is a coffee maker? What does a coffee maker do?
Heats up water,
and then it just dumps it on the thing, right? So what would happen if I would take my water from my kli shlishi, right, and pour it in there? Could I do that on Shabbos?
No.
Oh, that has to be off, right? It's off. It's off.
So you have the.
I took my hot water, I put it in my kli shlishi, and now I decided. I know, Joel was like, you're really desperate. You're
yeah.
Could I then pour it in here and see what happens?
That would be Marasayan.
That would be Marasayan.
Yeah, but she's
not.
It's off. The whole thing's off.
Unplugged.
Yeah. Let's see what happens.
Put a cover in
there.
Yeah,
yeah.
You're a product,
but the
grounds are not cooked.
I didn't prepare
the grounds before. Is that a problem?
Yes.
Is that a problem? Tell me why it's not a problem.
Because
this is a kli shlishi, right?
But there is a coffee maker. That's the way you make it.
You just boil the water in.
Boil the water, and then you just boil it, and you pour it through a Melita.
Right.
They also make individual mugs.
Right.
That is prepackaged, and because it's the shape of a cup, it tells you how much you put in there, and that's all that you do. You just pour the coffee through.
You make
pour
it
through. You made a coffee.
What?
It's coming out now. No,
what can I tell you? Would this be okay on Shabbos?
No.
What? Use a Melita, you think?
Why not?
Here's my problem. I'll break it to you. I'll tell you it this way. Problem is the following. If you're pouring from the kli shlishi into this thing, into here, what?
It's not
going to
be hot.
It's not going to be hot. Right. So if you're that desperate to do it, you're going to need some help. What?
Even when you use boiling water. By the time it filters through, it's still not...
Right, that's a really good coffee machine. Oh,
so here we go. Leave your tea bag in your third cup and pour it into your equation.
It's in the third cup?
So I was always thought you had to dip it in. You couldn't...
It's not bad. Not bad. I mean, it's pathetic and desperate, but it's not bad.
Well,
you know?
Is it as pathetic and desperate as instant coffee?
No.
I
we'll have to have a taste-off to see which is worse.
Yep.
You know, cool, kli-shlishi coffee, eerie kli-shlishi coffee, or instant. But that I don't know.
I have a question.
Yes.
Idea.
Does everybody understand? So your options are, I don't see this as being a realistic option unless you get one of those, what's it called?
Melita.
A Melita. I've seen that. And I think if you do it from a kli-shlishi, remember, pour the water from the hot water into something else.
Yeah.
Into something else, into another cup. And then you pour it on your melita.
Probably would probably work pretty well.
Probably work pretty well.
If you have, so they have individual mugs, and there's a porcelain holder, and then you put
your... I've seen that thing. Yeah.
Yeah, but not on the
cabinet. Okay.
You can get
a coffee
one day to eat
it
with the cabinet.
It's not to drink coffee.
No, you can have a potato with your coffee.
Get a coffee patch. My question
I should invent that. Right.
My question is this, which you glossed over.
Yeah.
Marasayan. You worry about it so much with, you know, on the black and other things. This, you know, I don't
in
know
the coffee maker, I would think it's probably Marasayan. I'll be brutally honest. I didn't think about Marasayan. It was Shavuot night. And there was, I don't know why, we had this instant, and it was like 3 a.m., and I was chalishing. It was like, you know, falling on my face in the middle of the night on Shavuot. And remember, Shavuot is no problem official. Right. You can cook anyway. So I did this. Because we have coffee, we're here Shavuot night, and I put the stuff in. It's an interesting question about Marasayan. But in a Melita, what about in a Melita?
I have no idea.
It's not made to go on the stove. It's made to sit on your cup.
Right.
On top.
I would agree. In this thing, I think you're right. There's a problem with Marasayan. But if you have something made specifically just to pour water in, an individual coffee maker.
Yeah. I'm just, you know, you go into that so much with, you know, the black and how you can't make it, like you're cooking.
Fine.
I would go up into your house and see you pouring that in. The rabbi's making coffee, I'm sure.
Okay. I will take that.
It's like everything else.
Correct. Fine. I will take that criticism and
two or three cups out there.
Accept it.
Right.
Okay. So until further notice, you cannot make coffee even without plugging it in a coffee maker on Shabbos, because I agree with Mrs. Barr. I agree with you. I think somebody could look at you and see you doing that on Shabbos and think legitimately that you're making coffee on Shabbos, because that's the normal use of this kind of thing. Okay? Fine. So you can't do that. Sorry. It was an idea, but we'll take it away. The Melita, I think you could do.
Only if you made a point that you're doing it from one thing.
I don't know if I agree with you. I don't know if you have to show anybody, because in that case...
No, I mean, if you're doing it at the table to serve someone, you have to make a point.
I think it's important to note also that... when you serve tea on Shabbos, so I'm sometimes uncomfortable if I'm at somebody's house. I don't know how, you know, I teach the halachas, but not everybody, as Mil Chavetz Chaim said, not everybody was meticulous as they should be about these things. And some people are not aware necessarily of the laws of Kli Shini Sheni and Kli Shini Shlishi. So I think it's always a good idea when you're serving on Shabbos, if you're serving tea, especially if you're bringing the bags to the table, to bring the water in a second source. Because that way, the person who's coming, the person who's at your house, there's no problem. Because they have to pour it into a Kli Shlishi before they're going to make their tea. As opposed to, they don't know if you brought the water. If somebody brings me a cup of water, I don't know if they put the water straight from the urn, and they're not going to pour it to another one, and it's very uncomfortable. Does everybody understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So in order to get rid of any kind of problems or any kind of doubt, that would be a good thing to do. Okay. What about instant? Okay, so now we come to the final question, okay?
It's already been cooked.
Except, so what can you put it in? If it's already been cooked, what can you put it in and what can you not put it in?
You still can't put it into a
Kli Rishon. Right, okay, that I wanted to clarify. Correct, you cannot put it into a Kli Rishon, because remember, let's just look at number 9 to see it. Kli Rishon. Pirush. So this used to be our Kli Rishon, right? So I took the water off the fire and have the water in the pot. Even after you took it off the fire, mevashel, it cooks, kol zman shehayad soledet bo. As long as the water is still yad soledet, it's still hot, it can still cook. Lefikach, therefore, asur bitein letocho tavlin. You can't put in tavlin, any type of spices. Afil aval melach mutar l'tein l'tocho. Kevin said v'ru mi'al ha'esh. Right, but salt you could put in once you took it off the fire. Tzricha milcha bishula kibisa deturach. Because salt requires greater heat, greater fire. And he says, so look at the Mr. Bura. He says v'yesh os and some forbid l'tein melach afil b'kli sheni. Kol zman shayad so let it go. Some say you can't even put salt in a Kli Sheni. And that's a chumra, not to put salt even in a Kli Sheni. But we don't really have, some people have that chumra, some don't. Look at Ayin Aleph. Okay, one second. Ayin Aleph. He talks about putting salt in a Kli Rishon. Okay? Okay. We'll skip down to the third line. See where it says Abba Melach? Okay, Abba Melach, the third line in the wide, and the Mishnah Berurah, or the fourth line. Abba Melach, the beginning of the line. Abba Melach. He says, the salt they were talking about was salt that they mined, that was never cooked. Abba Melach she'osi mimayim, but salt that's made from water, she'mevashim osam, that's cooked before, ain bo mishim bishul kuliyama. It's never cooked. Why? The ain bishul achabishul. Remember we learned ain bishul achabishul. The chain bitzukar. The same is true of sugar. Mutar my high time of no bikli rishon. You're allowed to put sugar in a kli rishon. La'achar she viru emin ha'esh. After you took it off the fire. Why? Sugar. How is sugar processed? It has to be boiled. So since it was already cooked, you can't cook it again. So even in a kli rishon you can. He says, but the yesh mefach bekin bazeh. Some of them don't like that idea. Why? Look at the shari kiyon. It's to the bottom chari hay. Ken kazav eliyahu rabba gabi melach v'isura humid rabbana. You're going to let this barki deshin nira kemevashel. It looks like you're cooking. When you put sugar in the kli rishon, or you put salt in the kli rishon, the hu adin gabi sugar. The same thing is true for sugar. So you shouldn't put sugar or salt or anything in a kli rishon even after you took it off the fire. What about a kli sheni? No problem whatsoever. There's no problem of looking like you cooked it. No problem at all. So you can make instant in the kli sheni. So turn to the next page, please, for a second. Okay. Well, if you just skip to the sheet number 10 on the second-hand side, the left-hand side, the second column. Gamba melach shulchan and melach bishol sukkar. Same thing is true of salt, table salt, sugar, saccharin, kafena mes. What's kafena mes? Instant coffee, bismaneinu. Okay, except lafuke, to exclude kafe ragio, regular coffee. She'ena over a talich bishol that is not pre-cooked. She'em over in talich bishol b'sha'ad yitzirom. All of these products, instant coffee, is pre-cooked before you, when it's made. Okay?
It's also cooked.
Same thing, it's pre-cooked. Anything freeze-dried has to be cooked, boiled out, and there's a whole process that they do. Okay? Yes, la'achamir shalom v'nim b'kli rishon, she'eviru mi'al ha'esh. You shouldn't put them in a kli rishon in the first pot that you took off the fire. B'shum she'nimucha mi'ad, she'menichem otam b'tocham, and they melt right away. Yes, ma'achamirim, af shalom la'alot alem b'kli rishon. Some even have the chumrah, it's a stringency not to pour from a kli rishon. Ava b'kli sheni, mutar litnim. Okay? But in the secondary kli, you're allowed to put them in a kli sheni. Some are even machmir in this case. Umatirim latet sukkah b'kafe n'masak kli shlishi over irim kli sheni. I think that's enough. Kli sheni is definitely, according to the vast majority of poskim, so you want to make cocoa, it's pre-cooked, coffee, instant tea, instant, the soup mixes. Right, those are pre-mixed also, not the traditional ones. But you have buying the envelope. Remember, they used to have the envelope, right? They still have them. I don't understand. They still make them. The soups.
Some of those soups have dried pieces in them.
They're all pre-cooked. Dabar yavesh, pre-cooked.
Oh, so that like if you have an onion soup. It has little bits of onion.
Remember, they used to have little croutons in them, if I recall. It's all been pre-cooked. It's all pre-cooked and then dried out. So in a kli sheni, those will all be permitted to do. So the idea is, like Eddie makes cocoa for my kids every Shabbos, so he takes the water, puts it out of the urn, right, into the cup. That cup is a kli sheni. You can make your cocoa, your coffee, your whatever, right away. What about pouring in now milk into that coffee? Are you permitted to do that?
Why not?
Yes, you are. Tell me why.
Because you're not cooking.
No. Klisheni.
Klisheni.
Why can I pour my milk or my cream into my coffee?
You drink it before, you drink it now.
The milk. No, the milk. Aren't I? Remember, klisheni can cook things. Yeah. What about the milk? The milk has already been cooked. It's been pasteurized. Very good. Right, all the milk has already been cooked. For that reason, you're allowed to put it in. Remember, that's also the reason you're allowed to put your essence into your klisheni. Because the essence was already pre-cooked.
First,
for the tea bag. Remember, the kli shlishi would only be relevant if you wanted to put a tea bag, because the tea bag in the coffee was never cooked before. Mm-hmm. Right? But anything that's been pre-cooked is permissible in a kli sheni.
First,
for the second
quarter.
It's always good to put the water first. Always good idea to put the water first, because otherwise then you'd have the problem of Eroy from McLee Rishon. Poor McLee Rishon, which you want to stay away from.
Say that again?
Always good to put the water first.
But now I heard that, but why?
The reason is, remember, because anytime you're pouring, so if you put the water, if you put the cocoa in,
the cooking
the that,
there.
Right, then you're pouring in from the Klee Rishon that you want to try to avoid. Once it's in a Klee Sushi, it doesn't matter. Okay, so you can just look in the English, making instant coffee and other power drinks, such as some contemporary rabbinic authorities have raised questions over the permissibility of pairing instant tea, coffee, and similar powdered drinks on Shabbos, because the act of pouring causes the powder to melt and dissolve. They contend that pouring the liquid onto the powder is therefore comparable to pouring hot water onto snow and ice, which is forbidden. However, I skip down. According to most poskim, do not accept the stringent opinion and permit pouring water or liquid from a Klee Shlishi, he says, but even into putting it onto instant coffee, tea, cocoa, and the like. It seems that the generally accepted practice is in accordance with this more lenient ruling. So, as long as you have a Klee Sheni, anything instant is permissible. Klee Shlishi, when you have your third vessel, then you can make your tea or your coffee in a bag. And if you really, really want to have a really good cup of coffee on Shabbos, can't help you. Wait till after Shabbos. Okay.
It seems like it's saying that we you have to put the dry powder or whatever into it.
Right.
Into
the water, into the Klee Sheni.
Over.
From the Klee Sheni onto it?
Onto it. But
yeah.
Right.
What, a syrup? Onto what?
Raspberry syrup.
Into your coffee? Into your hot water. Is it hot water? So again, is it a Klee Sheni? That's what it was, Klee Sheni.
It's
Klee Rishon?
Yeah.
Now, you can't put a cook into a Klee
Rishon. You're not cooking because...
Pouring anything into a Klee Rishon will cook it. If you put it,
the substance of the The substance of the syrup is heavier. Is a heavier consistency.
So
consequently, you wouldn't be able to hot water
dissolves.
Because
it dissolves.
No. What do you mean by dissolve?
Anything. If you pour a honey into your hot water and you mix it around, the honey dissipates. It dissolves. So of course it could cook. So I would say this syrup has been pasteurized. The syrup has been pasteurized.
The boiling point of water is lower than the boiling point.
It's not a question of boiling point. The question is, can it be mevasha l'halacha? So a Klee Rishon can be mevasha something l'halacha, whereas a Klee Sheni, if it's been pre-cooked, cannot. So let's say you want to take your hot water. In the hot water, which is a Klee Rishon, I would not put your syrup. But if you pour that into another cup, a Klee Sheni, and the syrup has been pasteurized, I assume, right? It's a product you buy?
Yeah,
I assume so, right? Then you could pour that into hot water and mix it around and have your, whatever you want. But I would not put it into a Klee Rishon at all. I wouldn't put it into a pot at all on Shabbos.
But you couldn't do it with honey, because honey isn't cooked.
Honey is not cooked. No, it's not. It's not cooked.
No.
How do you probably have to put into a Klee Shlishi? It's a good question. Okay, yes, David Byrne had a question.
You're saying, okay, you can pour water directly into the bell, you don't answer with the water.
With a Klee Shlishi, he said. From a Klee Shlishi. From a Klee Shlishi. Okay, so everybody should enjoy their instant coffee on Shabbos.